All right, and welcome back to Three in the Box now. We've had a slight change up. Yes, we do. We did change the name to Three in the Box. This is the Meat Beast. I'm sitting here with Aaron.
Hello.
And Kenny, officially our producer now.
What's going on?
Not much. How's everybody's year been? It's been the off season.
It's a little too warm out right now. We need some more cold fronts, some Alberta Clippers coming through, you know?
Well, for hockey to begin in earnest, of course.
Yes, of but course.
I'm not going to complain that we've had a nice, long, warm season yet.
Yeah, we're just barely into September, so I'm not ready to ditch the lack of jackets right now.
Yeah,
so.
Turning on the air conditioning in March kind of throws it off a little bit, being a Minnesotan.
But I have no problem with air conditioning in September. So,
amen. Amen. I'm with you on that. Let's see. It's been an interesting offseason. That's basically what we're going to end up talking about and what's coming in on the preseason insofar as.
We can breathe again.
Sorry, still getting used to these.
Look, Kenny's got new toys.
New toys.
Yes, our production value is going up as Kenny buys new toys, mainly from Sex World, but
we're almost professional now.
We're almost getting there.
There was no goal, you know. They was in the crease.
So, let's see.
Wait till I get a buzzer when you guys start giving me shit.
Yeah, that'll help you. Wait, no, it won't. We're looking at, obviously.
Three of you guys, you put one thing.
Okay, I'll stop playing.
You want to get a word in here?
Away from it? You know, every time you play one of those, it knocks information out of my head. I just forgot who won the Stanley Cup. So,
that'd be LA.
No, yeah. We're pretending that a warm weather team didn't win.
Yeah, well.
But you know what? We might as well start from the scratch here and start from the cup because, it. You know, I got to say, going in, I don't think anyone gave the Kings any sort of credit as far as what they were going to do.
Not at all. Not at all. They were the Cinderella team out of it because they were the eighth seed out of the West. And
they had a coach change mid-year. And then, but the thing is, they got Carter. And once they got Carter and coach change,
It helped them quite a bit tighten up. But they did surprise everybody and they just played very good hockey.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, no, I think that they actually came around quite well, and I mean, yeah.
Quick, obviously, a huge influence on that.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about that.
How many shutouts did he have?
I don't know, producer. How about you fact check that shit?
Let's see. I think he only lost, what, about three games? Something like that?
No, he was...
It was sick. It was sick, yeah, his performance.
I mean,
that.
I know once they knocked off, because... Going in, I had into the playoffs. I had my money was on the Blues, but once they got knocked out by the Kings, I was like, well, I got to go for the Kings now, and you know, I thought the Kings were gonna destroy New Jersey, but New Jersey hung on.
Yeah,
surprisingly, I mean, they did surprisingly well. I will say,
I totally agree with you on that. I will say this, however, bless HCMC for being so slow at getting you into the emergency room, because they brought me in for triage during the first period break. I arrived in the emergency room, mind you, at the beginning puck drop of the last game of the Blues in LA.
Sure.
I got to watch the whole game. They brought me in just for my check-in during the first period break, during the second period break. They got me into triage. After the third period, I walked up and just went, okay, guys, I'm about to step out for a cigarette and I need a glass of water because I did mention I self-medicated last night with booze, correct? can you get me in? I basically broke my arm the evening before and woke up and found out that I had, because it was just a hairline fracture, so I didn't feel it till the next morning. And that's how I watched the last game of the Blues versus the Kings. And you're right, I totally had the Blues pick to go on.
The Kings need to fix their damn website, because every time I click on a link, it brings up, download the LA Kings app. No.
Well, that's because you got to change your pad over to a, so it's not representing a tablet device. It's going to represent a laptop.
Yeah, but I don't want to see it every time I click on a link.
There's a few sites that do that, and it's really fucking annoying.
It is.
Plenty of hockey sites that do that, too. Irritating as shit.
All right.
You know what else is irritating? Gary Bettman.
Before we get into that, though, we probably should totally... We should probably bring up the fact that Nickelback, after getting voted down at least twice last season for opening anything, anything for the NHL, they finally got to play something for the NHL, the awards banquet in Las Vegas. So shut up, douchebags, and never try and be involved with a hockey game ever again.
But you can't deny a Canadian wanting to play in front of their national sport.
Well, wanting to, but actually having anybody really want them to? That managed to keep them from opening up the Heritage Classic, from opening up the season opener last year. Nobody wanted them to play it. It took until it was the award ceremony after the season was over.
Well, look, they're Canadians, they love hockey, and they've sold millions of records. They must deserve a spot on the stage.
Hockey has its own science and strategy. There's a counterplay.
Very true. And part of that is that they had to wait until it's nothing but the women folk that live in the suburbs sitting around watching and getting ready to flick the bean. That's when they get to play, not when we're trying to watch a sporting event.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I really fucking couldn't stand those guys anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, now what was that tweet about Dude and Avril Lavigne that maybe their kid will rebel and actually put out good music?
Well, who the hell is she? I'm sorry, I'm not up on my pop culture. Who is Avril Lavigne boinking right now?
Oh, she's getting married to the singer from Nickelback.
Chad Kroeger.
You're kidding me.
No.
That was no good, you know? They was in the creek.
Wrap your mind around that one.
So getting back to Batman then.
Speaking of things that suck.
Keeping the suck theme going, yes. Okay, so the CPA and possible lockout or what have you arguments. This is not my forte. I've been avoiding it because I don't want to get depressed.
Well, you know, we got hockey tickets for this year.
Long and the short of it is going into the last lockout, the NHLPA was very much weakened, and the CBA that the players signed was basically tailor-made by the owners. You had a salary cap, you had lowered wages, and you had a wage rollback. So basically, they were getting a smaller percentage of the pie. There was a cap, so they were going to be forced to have a smaller, collectively, piece of the pie. And they're going to have their current salaries rolled back. That's a win. But the only thing that the players won was slight profit sharing
the merch.
Sharing the wealth with the Maple Leafs and the Blackhawks of the league, yeah, with the Predators and the Coyotes of the league.
Or the Wilds that were selling out every game up until, you know, what, last year?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, missing the playoffs many years in a row might do that.
We all know why. But still, the Wild were generating a lot of revenue for a team that ultimately had a very low payroll.
Right. I mean, the revenue sharing was about the smallest thing, and it was like it wasn't enough to offset the huge losses that those small market teams were and those Sun Belt teams were generating. And that's a big problem. The problem is now the owners are coming back to the table saying, you didn't give us enough money last time. We're still losing lots of money. They're not. But we're still losing lots of money. And can you give us more of your money?
I don't know. Maybe they should look at the markets that aren't making the money and move them.
Or look at profit, the revenue sharing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we expand the league.
Cut out the revenue sharing and move the teams that aren't making money.
Well, add a team to Toronto. Add a team to Quebec.
The areas that can support them.
Right.
Add a second team.
If New York can support three teams, I would think Toronto could probably support two teams.
Well, let's get Milwaukee or Madison a team so we can have that Wisconsin-Minnesota bout. Oh, yeah. Seattle would be a great. Or Spokane. Yeah. Even Eastern Washington could support a pro team.
If you count New Jersey, Seattle, New York is supporting four teams.
Right.
True. And they were struggling. New Jersey was struggling revenue-wise at the beginning of the season.
They were. Year. In fact...
Well, actually, New Jersey is three.
Well, New York, Buffalo.
Oh, that's...
But it's not...
Metro area, New York.
Metro area.
Yeah.
Yeah, New York City, not New York State. You're saying New Jersey is just part of New York City, but yeah, not
really,
part of New York
State.
It really
is, yeah. All right. It's considered part of the statistical metropolitan area.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
Well, so is Washington, D.C., but still.
As part, no, that's part of the Baltimore, so oh, okay. Those get lumped together.
Ah,
so, okay. Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, why did all the lawyers go to New York and all the trash go to New Jersey? New Jersey got the pick first. Sorry for any of you lawyers out there listening. There, I can do it to myself, too.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Yeah, so we're looking at a possible lockout.
Not good.
I mean, honestly, they need to figure out, because even if they cut the players' salaries back, I mean, there's plenty of articles out there that are basically laying out that even if the players take the pay cut that the league has suggested, which is now going from 57% of the league revenues down to 43% of the league revenues, which is a huge cut at that.
Yeah, that's not a dainty chunk of change.
But even then, those low teams with the salary floor aren't going to be able to afford, and they're still going to have problems at the end of this next season.
You know, at that point, too, Gary Bettman would be at the top of the pay range for the high-end players in the NHL.
That was actually a great point that someone made, is that...
He's still taking his $8 million a year salary right now during the lockout, lockout.
Check this out. If the league is making less money and still losing money 7 years after the last lockout, why did the league give Bettman $5 million worth of raises over that same span?
That guy needs to go away.
Oh, God, that hurts. The truth hurts so bad.
It's either they're not losing money or they're...
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Exactly. And here, great timing there. Good job, Kay. Real quick question. Now, I know you guys brought it up last year that he originally came from Major League Baseball.
That was Donald Fair.
Oh, Donald Fair. Thank you. Sorry.
Who is in charge of the NHLPA.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Never mind. I was
I believe there. Bettman actually started off in the NBA.
Yeah, Bettman did come from the NBA.
Yeah.
And we're talking about non-hockey people to begin with, is the point.
Well, because he could run a league, and that's why when he came in, you noticed that the structure of the NHL started turning more into the structure of how the NBA was structured as far as cities and whatnot.
Well, and at that time, the NBA was...
And they have to share arenas a lot of the time.
The NBA...
Which, makes sense, because they're both pulling in about the same capacity.
And the NBA was doing wildly well, in the mid-90s. I mean, it was...
And late 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it was doing...
Especially the Bulls.
The Bulls with the Lakers and the Celtics, those teams were really driving that league. And
the Dream Team happening with the Olympics as well.
And we need to get back to his point.
Oh, sorry.
But the point being that league was doing so well, why not mimic the success of that league and try to do that? The NBA expanded to the South. They had added Miami. You added Orlando. You added Phoenix.
They also expanded to the North with Canada, and look where that went. Canada doesn't want basketball, and the Southwest doesn't want hockey.
Well, it's also that they can't have the kids playing hockey. If their kids can't play the sport cheaply...
Yeah, no, that's a big thing.
We have the luxury of just being able to walk to the park and get out on the ice and play a game of boot hockey when we're like 4 years old here. We're already learning boot hockey and probably have had our parents at least throw a pair of skates on us at some point to see if we can skate.
For the kids on the outdoor rinks, the season lasts from freeze up to spring thaw.
Exactly.
But I will say, though, that basketball was created by a Canadian.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, is this a basketball podcast
or a hockey podcast?
No, but you're listening to
Three on the Bench.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so Three in the Box, getting back to it.
Three, you guys, you pull one thing, you're out of this game.
We're jackholes. Let's see, what else do we got? Kenny, do you have anything you wanted to bring up before we start going a little insane?
Well, I think other than the fact that I can't stand Gary Bettman and... No, not really. We do have, kind of with this too, is there's talk about with the player salaries, with all these big contracts that got signed, which we're going to be getting into here shortly, with the Wild especially, are these players going to get their money now from the contracts that they just signed?
Or even going off that same thought, is it disingenuous that these same owners that signed these ridiculous contracts are now complaining poverty?
Or going in there knowing full bore that, hey, we can sign them for any amount that we want, but we're not going to have to pay them.
Right.
Has Leopold made a statement on this at all yet?
He's part of the Board of Governors.
Point, but do we know how he voted?
No, we
don't. Nobody knows how the owners have been voting.
It's all behind doors.
The owners are basically have to stay hush-hush right now until everything's said and done.
I think only four owners have spoken since this whole CBA back and forth has started.
Yeah, so. And they're really not supposed to be.
Yeah, and Leopold's normally good about actually letting people know what he's planning and what he's got going on, to a certain extent, better than most owners.
But he's not showing his hand on a business side, which isn't a dumb move, but, you know, at the same point, it doesn't garner a lot of trust from the players or the fans.
Yeah, there's some big contracts that he just signed, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some big contracts that he signed that we'll get into a little bit later. Here's one that we'll tease with. One of the big contracts that he made sure happened is making sure that the Orlando, getting back to another Sun Belt team, the Orlando Solar Bears are now another minor league affiliate of the Wild. So we have two farm teams.
And they're actually coming back from the dead because they did exist, in the early 90s? Late 90s?
OHL? What league are they in? What is it? The
Orlando Solar Bears. I'm pulling that up. Just give me a handful of seconds.
I do remember briefly seeing something about that's right, the Eastern Central Hockey League, I believe.
Yep, the ECHL, purple and teal. It is a polar bear, just with an S, solar big bear. Sun behind it. Because that's basically what's happening to the polar bears right now.
Yep, and they were originally part of the IHL in the late 90s.
When the IHL was still,
when it was still around. They weren't a part of Minnesota hockey at that point because we didn't have a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had the Moose for a minute.
They might have actually been in the IHL, too.
They were.
Okay.
They were IHL.
So there's something. We have two teams to pull from now. So now all the minor leaguers aren't going to get nearly as much of an opportunity when our guys get hurt.
Just a little correction. ECHL is East Coast Hockey League.
East Coast. That's right.
Sorry about that.
Wasn't all that whatever.
CHL. I don't.
All right, and of course, Becoming Wild Chapter 2 is coming out here.
We can breathe again.
We need a shot and a miss.
Yeah, we do.
Becoming Wild Chapter 2 is coming out here in just a couple days with Clutterbuck being the main star of that. And I'm going very wild centric tonight, guys, because it is preseason.
That's all good. Speaking of Clutterbuck, I don't know if either of you guys went to the state fair. But they had a whole Minnesota sports tent going on.
And
they had a handful of mug shots up on the wall. And up on the wall was a big mug of fucking Clutterbuck. Just looking grizzly and hairy.
His mugs always looked the best, man.
It was awe-inspiring, I gotta say.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Yes,
Clutterbuck is always a good show. One of the best hitters in the league.
One of the nicest guys around, too.
Very nice zen guy. We're talking very nicely about you, hoping you'll come on and sit down and have a beer with us one of these days, Cal. But regardless of that, he is a great player.
We might have to get Bud Light.
Oh, God, yeah, we might. Damn sponsorships.
Sheehan's Rustproofing.
All right, anybody have anything non-wild centric before I just go on a huge tear?
Go wild.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. We start with the two big ones?
I think we're going to have to.
And honestly, that's not even just wild news. That's huge NHL news right there.
The Wild, one of the things that upsets me, of course, is because of the deal that was brought that we are talking about. This is both the contract signed for Ryan Sutter and Zach Parise. A lot of people around here have been referring to us as being the Yankees of the NHL
now. I had also heard the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat, yep.
Yeah, similar comparison drawn. But the big thing I need to argue on that, for those of you that don't know, it's a 13-year contract for both of them, $98 million for that.
Identical
13 years.
Contracts.
Identical contracts. They were the two best free agents on the market for the offseason.
Two best.
Unrestricted.
Unrestricted free agents.
Unrestricted.
My main argument on why that doesn't make us the Yankees. The Yankees tried to approach Maurer while he was still under contract.
Well, Boston just did, too.
Yeah, and we put him on waivers.
Well, they,
regardless,
well, Boston put
those teams will actually go and try and get the players while they're still under contract for another team, not while they're an unrestricted free agent.
As a good example is the Flyers putting in a giant bid on Shea Weber and basically handcuffing the Predators into having to sign this ridiculous contract.
To keep him.
To keep him. Which is another example of why the CBA is so freaking broken right now. Is basically, I mean, what else are the Predators going to do? They either lose him or they keep him.
Yeah.
The Flyers can afford to pay that. The Predators can't.
That's kind of contradictory to, you know, well, we're going to offer them money, but we can't afford to pay you guys anymore. Isn't that kind of going against what they're fighting for right now?
Yeah.
Part of the problem, yeah. Yeah, way to bring it back on that, but yeah.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
And, of course, both of them were, they were the top two.
Yeah.
And we were basically promised by Leopold that we'd have one of them. And
right.
Lou Nanny went on record as saying, if the Wild don't end up with Parisi, it won't be because they didn't offer him enough money. Now that all that's
I think
said
they
and
offered
done,
him a very pretty penny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you figured out that's a little over $7.5 million a year. Now, if you think about it, any of the other players that we've said we wanted to try and keep, we didn't offer them anything close to that price.
No.
At any point. Like, a lot of players that have gotten contracts at least close to that. Like, Gabrick, what, the Rangers are paying Gabrick about $6 million a year?
Jeez,
is that right?
Something like that, I think, when he signed with them.
Six and a half? So, we would drag our feet to keep Gabrick with the team and just get him up to $3 million.
Well, I know it wasn't for the lack of the Wild trying to keep Gabrick.
But the money being offered was very different as well.
I think Gabrick was kind of on his way out, though.
Oh, he very much was. He had expressed interest in playing more East Coast-style hockey as opposed to Western Conference hockey for years.
And he was already disappointed with the Wild management,
and
both on ice and in backs.
Every contract negotiation, they'd sign him for a short deal, and they'd sign him for much less money. Now we're throwing the money around.
Well, yeah. You know, we got rid of Risenborough. We got, well, Lemaire left.
Risenborough, oh, God.
We've got new ownership.
Yep.
I think that when Leopold came in, he was kind of sick of the way everything was getting dealt with.
And we got Nordy. that's another new thing brought in. But, I mean, we've had Nordy for a couple of years. Yeah. No kidding. I want to see them doing the splits on the ice in very skimpy
Our
outfits.
Attendance dropped down to 16,000. We need to boost that back up.
Yeah, I've got some ideas on that. Can I help on the auditions? So, yeah, we got
the FSN North girls.
All right. So, yeah, we got Sutter. Brilliant, brilliant defenseman, originally from Madison, Wisconsin. I want to say he actually had his best postseason last year. I could be wrong.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And he played for Wisconsin. He was a Badger.
Yeah, he was a Badger.
Yep.
And
so basically, he's one of us.
And we got him off the Predators, which we got. Wait, so we got rid of Zidlicky. And didn't we just get his former defensive pair that's younger and better?
And then
okay.
And then
I'm on board now. I was a bit bitter about that Zidlicky trade for a long time.
And then we also got a former teammate in Parisi.
And yeah, a former teammate of Sutter.
And a former teammate of Parisi in New Jersey.
Yeah, Zidlicky.
Oh, yeah. But we got rid of Zidlicky.
Yeah, Zidlicky and Parisi both lost a cup together.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But let's see, Zidlicky's in Boston now, right? Or Zidlicky, sorry.
No, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Oh, he went back to New Jersey?
That's where he got. Yeah, that's where he.
Why was I thinking he went to? I'm on crack right
someone
now.
Someone else went to Boston. I don't remember who it was, but
Zanin go to Boston? No, we still got Zanin.
I don't think we still have Zanin. He's not officially.
There was
on
someone
roster.
That went to Boston. I don't know who.
Somebody did.
Schultz.
We're a little rusty in the off season, right?
Yeah,
now.
We didn't pay attention to who left. We paid attention
Schultz went to
who
Edmonton.
Came back. Okay, so.
The other defenseman. It was a D for D swap on that one.
Obviously, we got a Golden Gopher and a Badger who have played together many times.
Parisi wasn't a Gopher.
He wasn't? I thought he was a Gopher.
Nordak.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. He was fighting Sue.
Yep.
Well, they do have a great arena. I do have to say, Ralph Engelstad Arena is possibly the best arena I've ever seen.
It's a beautiful,
yeah, it is.
Beautiful stadium.
Are they going to be able to keep that much longer?
That's a topic for a whole nother show. These kids know each other, they play well together, and there was some rumor that they wanted to be on the same team, both being unrestricted free agents after playing in both the Junior Classics and for the Olympics teams and in the International League.
Well, they both got silver together.
Yep.
Up
in Vancouver.
10?
Yes, correct. 10. So there was a lot of thoughts that they did actually want to end up on the same team and be close to home, especially since Parisi just got married this last summer, and it was a good 4th of July present for both of us. It was Zanin who went to the Bruins. Okay. So, yes.
Another D-man, yeah.
Yeah, there have been a lot of changes on the Wild lineup.
We lost our Z pairing.
And it part of the Zidlicky trade is we actually have some people returning to the Wild.
Yeah, that's right. There was.
Yeah. Stefan Vaillou.
Stefan Vaillou and... Was it Brosiak? No, that's... Brosiak was with us last year.
He never left.
Oh, God, why?
God damn it!
Give me a second. Oh, wow, great radio. Good job, Josh. wait. Meat Beast, you're an idiot.
They was in the crease!
That definitely was not a goal.
We need to look up, I believe it's Summer Samba. We need that as a... Curtis Foster.
Yes, Curtis Foster.
Thank you.
But I believe he's playing down in Houston.
Yeah, he got bumped back down. He's not on the Wild
line. I think Vaillou is down there as well.
Yeah, they're both not very good.
Vaillou is actually listed as playing on the main Wild roster right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
On the updated roster.
I don't know if that's going to... That might last. I mean, I think the big thing with Yo is he's it's not going to be scholarships anymore. I think that's the term he used. No more scholarships. You know, you have to earn your way onto the team.
And well, especially after suffering with so many injuries last year, bringing up the pairs that did so much work for him with the Arrows.
Right.
Having him do a great job at first and then just shit the bed.
Right. I mean, there was no depth in that team. We got depth now. Yeah.
Lots of depth.
And bringing that up, let's start off with a list of a bunch of the new people. Zenon Konopka out of Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada.
What I love about that guy is that name is not a Canadian name.
Not at all.
Konopka?
I was looking at it going, okay, you're a fan. No, you're... Really? Are you kidding me?
I was thinking Polak or something Eastern Bloc.
I was,
you know,
totally
thinking... Hockey has its own science and strategy. There's a
I was guessing Finn. I was totally guessing he was Finnish. No, from Ontario, Canada. Spent a bit of time with the Ducks, the Blue Jackets, and mainly on their farm teams. The Lightning finally brought him up. The Islanders let him have a shot at it for a year, and then the Senators actually did some good work with him. And he did actually manage to tally 2 assists last year in the playoffs.
Well, it looks like he was a fighter, but all the fights I saw, he kind of got his ass handed to him.
Oh, and that actually begs the question of what are we doing with Cassian then, you know?
You know, I'd rather... I like Cassian, man.
He's a big, dumb kid, is what he is.
None of these rosters.
He's very intelligent.
But he's very childlike.
Yeah, but you know, that's part of his charm. Yeah.
Quick point. None of these roster spots are final.
No,
especially
the preseason
not at the bottom.
Games have not happened yet.
At the bottom, it's open game for the bottom two lines. To be honest,
To it, Cassie might get more ice time than Konopka because Cassie's got a two-way contract.
Then there's that.
Yeah, that's
you know, true. He can play with Houston all year long, even if there is a lockout. I don't know about Konopka.
I believe Konopka's one way. So
I mean, at the very most, he could maybe play in Europe potentially.
Yeah,
KHL.
Oh God, we're gonna lose another one to the KHL.
Well, there is that possibility if there's a lockout that a lot of our all-star players are gonna be going Russia.
Well, here's one thing that does help us at least is that the first game of the season is not till October 11th. So even if there is a lockout, they've got a little bit of time.
True, but basically the owners
to
have
pull
said,
a miracle out of their ass.
The owners have said once the 15th of September passes, you know, they're entering into season damaging territory. And by they mean the players, which really means the owners because of the situation. But
yeah, they got to remember this. Even though just because they're paying them doesn't mean they can treat them like slaves.
Right. I mean, that's really the bottom line of it. But
okay. And how did we get from Konopka to? you know, I'm kind of happy that we can actually take a thread that far off into nowheresville.
So okay, I do have a question about this Wild team though. Last year they were 30th in goals per game. How does Parisi and Suter change that?
Well, I think
does it change that?
I think our first line is going to open up a lot more, assuming we can stay healthy.
But I mean, we're also adding Granlund, and Granlund's
going to be center on second line, third line, potentially?
I believe second line is last I saw. But, I mean, a lot of people are saying that he might potentially be, you know, rookie of the year type candidate, you know?
Very much so. I
how
mean,
old
yeah,
is
Granlund's,
that kid? He's
Granlund's been somebody that everybody's been watching for how long?
Right.
And just like, before 4th of July hit, we were already doing jumping jacks over that kid. I mean, backflips. I saw 90-year-old men doing backflips down the fucking street when we signed him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it... okay.
But how many goals? I mean, is that going to take us out of third? I mean, 30th is low. You know, adding three players, two of which are only offensive-minded. Suter is more of a defenseman.
Well, we averaged having two people or three people off our top two lines on IR for approximately two-thirds of the season last season. That's a full line missing out of the top two lines.
Well, we had six out of, at one point, six of our forwards
out.
We were
averaging six players on IR, some of them defensemen. But we had
at one point we had
our top two lines entirely, basically a full top line out on IR. And that and the lack of depth and having to dig that deep because we also had defensemen that were out and goalies that were
I think the only forward that we had out of our top two lines that was healthy the whole season was Heatley.
Yeah. Well, and
holy shit.
paraphrasing Konopka, if Mikko wants to sit in the center of the ice and read a newspaper, he's going to give him that much room.
Yeah.
You know what? I respect the guy even more now. So yeah, we've got a lot more players to talk about.
If we've got a guy who, you know, is willing to actually step up and goon it up just to keep the players safe, hey, go for it. But man, I mean, how much can you goon it up if you keep getting your face broken in?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Obviously, we know that all too well from things that have happened here even after trades away and whatnot.
Granlund's still a kid. He's 20. So, I mean,
well, how about we talk about Torrey Mitchell for a minute?
Torrey Mitchell
signed as a free agent on July 1st this year. Came from the Sharks.
Yep.
Out of Quebec, and 27 years old, so right in the same age range as Paris. Well, the exact same age as Paris. And
I think he's going to be a good fit. I think he was looking at second line, third line.
I think he's third or fourth.
That's right. No. He was going to be farther down.
And basically, the top two lines, Yo has already said that the top two lines, barring injury or some really big screw-ups, they're set.
So, we're looking at, obviously,
Miko, Parisi,
and Heatley, Setoguchi, Clutterbuck, and
Clutterbuck's going to be third.
Clutterbuck's third.
Brodziak's third.
Really? Brodziak centering third. I think, actually,
it's PMB, Granlund.
PMB's still on IR. He's still listed as on IR.
That's the last one I saw.
Yeah, that's what I thought I saw, too.
But PMB, Granlund, I thought. No, Granlund was centering. Maybe PMB was...
I think PMB was third or fourth line.
Granlund and Setoguchi were on the second.
Yep.
With...
Wow.
Yeah. Pulling up the main just on the Wild page with the list of what the current lines, the current players for the team are. Pierre-Marc Bouchard is listed first, but he is the only person with a double asterisk being listed as injured reserve still. Granted, of course, they're not going to adjust that until the puck drops on the season, unless during the preseason games he finally heals.
Well, I mean, he's been healing for the past 3 years now.
Okay, according to Mike Russo...
You got it right there?
Yep. First line is going to be Parisi, Koivu, Heatley. Second line, Setoguchi, Granlund, PMB. Third line, Cullen, Brodziak, Clutterbuck. Fourth line, Pau, Konopka, and Mitchell. With an extra being Cassian, and another one that would be...
All right, we were just talking about Mitchell. So, perfect.
Yeah. And Clutterbuck's going to be a third-line player.
That's where he shines. He's not a first or second-line guy.
No, not at all.
You need to get him out there, sparingly and just to mix stuff up.
He needs to be on the hitting line. That's the checking line. That's exactly what he's there for. I mean... He can bring down that demeanor of a team by just knocking the guys around cleanly.
True. I'm just going to run through real quick because we're starting to push close on time. Jason Zucker, obviously, who was working on our minor league affiliate, is also looking at a spot possibly in the forwards. He did have 2 assists for us last year out of 6 games played. Then we've also got Cassian, which we've brushed on. And so far as the forwards now, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Thank you. Sorry. I did train wreck there. Got hit into the boards by trying to say Alberta. I don't know how I messed that up.
I think what
he's been with the Arrows for a bit and has come up a couple of times in skate. He's got 2 goals for us, 2 overall points out of the 28 games he's played with the Wild.
I mean, there's a few guys you've... you mentioned Veyu. We've mentioned Cassian.
Well, we got Palmieri. Yeah. Palmieri, yeah.
But there's other ones. The other ones that we haven't really... I mean, Charlie Coyle, where does he fit in with this?
Obviously, not even being listed on the site yet. I just pulled the stuff off the Wild site right now.
But Charlie Coyle, he's got to be in there. I mean...
He's going to be in the mix.
He's got to be in the mix for that at least the fourth line spot.
You know?
And then Chad Rau...
Yep.
You know, where does he sit? Brett Ballmer?
They don't even have Granlund listed on
the
site right now. And they've got Zucker's another
one
that
you mentioned.
Yeah.
He's another guy who's going to be angling for a spot, I think, assuming we have a season here.
Well, and we also got Powell being listed as in, who might actually end up being right on the cusp, but he's actually put up good numbers for us last year.
Yeah.
He came from the Flyers, but then came over to us, played all 82 games last year, 6 goals, 7 assists, 13 points overall. And
so out of the lines I listed, you got to figure Parisi, Koivu, Heatley, Setoguchi, Granlund, PMB, assuming he's healthy. Cullen, Brodziak, and Clutterbuck are basically set.
Yeah.
You got to figure that last line. There's a lot of guys going for that last line. And that's going to mean...
There's stiff competition between both the young kids and some of the vets that we got lying around.
That means we're going to have depth.
We're actually going to have depth. And
well, assuming we don't lose our top two lines again.
Falk and Vayu coming back. and being told, yeah, you're going to be probably getting sent to one of the farm teams. That's, they had to have assumed that they were automatically getting a spot and getting their old number back. And then turned around and went, what?
And it really, I mean, I think probably one of the weakest things we have is our D, our, it's generally viewed as our weaker, is our D lines. But, you know, you got Suter and Gilbert as your first pair. Scandella, Spurgeon.
Who did wonders for us last couple of years.
They did really well. They're young guys. But then Stoner, Prosser. And you talk about the guys that are, like, on the cusp. You have Falk. You have Dumba, who we just drafted. You know,
he still has some development.
Broden.
But he's Dumba Kuma. Actually was one of the ones I looked at and went, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
No, it's Dumba.
Dumba.
It's Dumba. It's actually is Dumba. Broden. Kuma.
Nice.
You know.
We got, yeah, so everybody's actually going to be fighting a lot harder for their jobs. And having a second team to send them down to makes it a lot easier. There's a lot more roster spots in the farm teams.
I mean, not necessarily for Arrows, but for not to lose what Arrows we've got that aren't nearly anywhere near ready for the Wild.
I think Houston should be up for a Calder Cup again, or making a run for Calder Cup again.
They're definitely going to be up. Yeah, they're going to be strong.
They've made the playoffs the past couple of years, and I think they have a hell of a team.
They've already got a lot of core people and a lot of players who have helped train all the fresh blood that's in there right now.
But on that note, I think about time to call it a night. So if you guys,
I have to go bartend, don't I?
Say your pieces and yeah.
Kids, I'm really, really hoping the owners stop being dickheads so fiercely, because I am just dying for this hockey season to start. If for nothing else, then I can kick my roommate in the teeth for flying Vancouver colors.
Yeah, fair enough.
Only thing I got to say is fuck Gary Bettman.
I agree. Gentlemen, Kenny signing off.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. This has been Three in the Box. We will be doing a monthly special that we will affectionately refer to as Puck and Drunk for old time's sake. This is the Meat Beast, and hopefully you'll get to hear our evil voices all year long.
Hopefully.